Amen, amen. Yes, let's give the Lord a praise for our praise team. Hallelujah. They are faithful intercessors. When it comes time for corporate prayer, they're in the house. And sometimes there's only two or three others, but they're intercessors and worshipers. And we thank God for them because God shows up. Hallelujah. Amen. So I wasn't going to preach about prayer, but I do want to mention this. Every Wednesday night, we're going to have teaching from Bishop's book, and then we're going to take time to pray. And so if you join in on your Zoom link, you will have that opportunity to go ahead and pray corporately with us. So every Wednesday night, we'll be praying for about a half hour corporately and see what God will do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I'm excited this morning to have Prophetess Vernella here. We've been kind of reminiscing over this weekend, just got a chance to spend a lot of time together. And just thinking back, we figure we've been friends for at least 30 years. 30 years we've walked together this life's journey with the Lord. And what a value there is on godly friends. And we were just, God introduced us. She lived down in Indianapolis, went to school down there. I was up here in school in South Bend. And she just happened to be in the same graduating class because they brought the two classes together for graduation. And so I believe our certificates are one of the last ones that Dr. Summerall signed. And he gave us a license to preach that day. Hallelujah. And we've been preaching ever since. Thank you, Lord. And that's how we met. And God just kept bringing us together. Neither one of us had really discussed with the other one about coming into Christian International, but God kept directing our paths in the same way. And she ended up being Apostle Leon's assistant for many years down in Versailles, Indiana. And everybody here loves Apostle, right? Hallelujah. So she is set under his anointing for many years. And I'm sure you'll receive an impartation today. Christian International is about impartation. You know, we can give you a lot of information, but information is not the same as the revelation and the impartation that you receive in your spirit. And many times God pours stuff into you, you don't even realize that you're getting it, but the light bulb starts going off later. Hallelujah. Because that's how God's revelatory spirit works within our hearts. And so we just thank God for the woman of God this morning. So let's give her a warm welcome, Prophetess Vernella Smith from Anderson, Indiana. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Please be seated. Amen. God is so awesome. And you know, sometimes we just don't have words to describe him because awesome is in our vocabulary.
Yes.
But you know, he's that and so much more. Uh-huh. And so today we're here because of who he is. Because he had a plan and a purpose for us from the very beginning. The song that says from the foundation, a firm foundation. Mm-hmm. He had us on his mind. It's no accident. What happened in Eden was no accident. He wasn't surprised. He still had a plan for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's just that kind of God. And so I want to honor Apostle Leonard and Dr. Janet this morning, and even the congregation, this wonderful body of believers up here at the river, for allowing me to be a part of celebrating Mother's Day celebration this year. Amen. We don't know what each year holds. All we can do is go for what we know right now. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so I just want to share some words with you this morning. And even though we're recognizing mothers, what I'm talking about is for men, it's for everyone. It's for the young and the old. We have not arrived. Hallelujah. And we're not too young to grow. And we're not too old to continue to grow. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we thank you that even as we have worshiped today, Lord God, you've heard our worship. But Lord, we're saying today, Lord, we want to hear a word from you.
Yes.
Lord, we know that your word will sustain and keep us. And so, Father, we bow our hearts before you. And Lord, even as I look at that sign over there, it says that we'll lean not to our own understanding, but Lord, we'll come before you so that you can impart and pour into us this day. And Father, we'll thank you. Lord, we want to represent you on the earth. We want people to say there's so much evidence against him, they'll be convicted for being men and women of God. The evidence is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning I want to share about the spirit of wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom, even though we're looking at mothers in particular, I'm going to highlight some mothers, but I want you to know the principles is for all of us. I wish when I was a younger woman, girl, I had known some of these things. Even as I'm saying that, I'm hearing this song, if I could talk to the younger me back then. There are some things I would talk to me about. And it would be about some wisdom, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the real truth, okay? Get ready. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. But I want to start, first of all, out of the book of James. I'm going to hit some things kind of rapidly. I'm not going to be here very long because we want to honor mothers as you're going to get together to spend time as parents, and perhaps you got your mothers or grandmothers. So I won't be here very long. I just want to highlight some principles. But I want to go to James, the third chapter, and it says verses 13. And I'm going to highlight just different parts of it. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let's look amongst. Who's wise and understanding among you? This is in the Bible. Let him show good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Praise the Lord. This wisdom that I'm referring to in this passage, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is, there is something else. I forgot to read that. There is a wisdom that is a self-seeking, and it's boastful, and it's against the truth. But that wisdom does not come from above, but it is earthly. There's an earthly wisdom. I want you to understand that. There's an earthly wisdom. There's a sensual wisdom, and there's a demonic wisdom. That's why we've got to have the spirit of wisdom. Okay? So I needed to put that in there because there are other wisdoms that are out there that's not of the kingdom of God. For where there is envy and selfish seeking, there is confusion and evil things. But the wisdom that is from above, say there is a wisdom from above. There is a wisdom that is from above. That wisdom is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, and it's full of mercy. Hallelujah. And it's without partiality, and it's without hypocrisy. I'm just going to kind of step through some things rapidly. But we're going to concentrate today on a spirit of wisdom. And so having set that format, I want us to go to some people in the Bible. I was looking at these women in the Bible. Praise God. And before I could get to them, I had to talk about King Solomon. I love to talk about King Solomon because, see, he was promoted. And see, each time we are promoted, each time we're going to another level, sometimes we don't want to lean to our own understanding. We don't want to lean just on our education, even though we need it, so that we can be do the things that need to be done when we're there. But there is something that we need more than that. We don't want to lean on what we done yesterday or last year. The scripture says right here, when Solomon was promoted and he became king, and he was confronted with some things that was outside of his realm of influence, even though he had been around his father, King David. But he needed something more, and he had a dream. Now, I'm not one that really remember dreams. I'm just not that person. But it says here in, now we're in 1 Kings, the third chapter, on the fifth verse, and so I'm going to highlight something. It says, Solomon loved the Lord. First of all, we've got to love the Lord God. Amen. We can't get godly, divine the spirit of wisdom from other sources. It's got to come through the Father. Amen. It's got to come through the Word of God. And so it says here, and Solomon loved the Lord. So many times we don't hear people talk about that. They talk about how rich he was. They talk about how wise he was. But it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he was burning sacrifices. He would burn those incense in the high places. So I'm dropping down to verse 5. And so in this particular passage, even though Solomon loved the Lord, there were still some high places. And if you notice throughout the scriptures, you'll find there were still, even though there were righteous kings, for some reason they didn't always get those high places torn down. But in verse 5 it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. I'm just telling you, I'm not that person, but I'm open to the Lord speaking to me in dreams so that I know it's him. But see, you've got to know the difference between godly dreams and dreams that are not of the Father, so that we can take wisdom from when God is speaking to us and know the difference. Amen. And that's one of the reasons, one of the things that C.I. Talks a lot about is having godly counsel, so that we can have counsel, so that when we have dreams or we receive prophetic words, that we can begin to go to Apostle Leon or some other persons in the ministry that are seasoned, that want to be with you to make sure that you're hearing what God is saying, your apostles and your pastors. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And sometimes what it means in night, it don't mean it's necessarily 12 midnight. Sometimes it can be night just because life is so complicated. Sometimes it can just be complications of where we are, that it's a night season. Hallelujah. So he appeared to Solomon by night, and God said, ask. Some of us would waste that. Some of us would waste that. Ask, what shall I give you? You write that down. You'd make note of that for yourself. What would I say if God said, ask what I will give you? Take note of that, amen? He says, and Solomon said, so Solomon said, he went through the whole lineage and the paragraph of, I'm here because you gave it to my dad and now I'm in this position. And so now then he says, but I am a little child. He wasn't a child, but he recognized that his maturity for the promotion of where he was seated did not come up to the expectation, because he was facing a lot that needed to be done. And he couldn't reason it out. He couldn't hammer it out. He couldn't intellectualize it out. He couldn't Google it out. He needed to hear from God. And so Solomon says, you have made your servant king. What's that song y'all just got through singing? Say it again. He's my king, and a song that was, I bring my offering. It's all that I have, but it's fit for a king. Like I said, I mess up a song, but I know what I get out of it. But it's fit for a king. He says, but I am a child and I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to go out and interact with this crowd of people. I don't know how to come back in and have the solutions. And things are coming at me so fast. He says, I don't know how to do this. But he knew how to talk to God because he loved him. He says, your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people. This is a great people here at the river. I'm not trying to snowball. You're doing a great work here. You've got a great assignment here. You've got leaders here that will promote you and push you to be challenged to learn and to read and to dig in and to go deeper. That iron sharpens iron. You don't just stay at that plateau. He says, so this, you got so many people. There's too many to even count. He says, therefore give to your servant me. He didn't even recognize himself as king. He saw himself as a servant in proper perspective. Thank you, Lord. He said, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart. He says, so I can judge your people and discern between good and evil. And sometimes we need to be able to judge between what's best and better. Sometimes we just need to have that. And so here he's dialoguing with God in this dream. And he says, "I that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" He never did take ownership for, you know, he didn't take ownership. No, that's mine. He said, "These are your people." He said, "I'm just here serving on your behalf. You know, come on, fill me up." Yeah, really. Help me. But what I like is verse 10. It says, "The speech pleased the Lord." The speech pleased the Lord. And because God was pleased that Solomon asked for this thing, you know, went on, he got all those other things because he loved God. And so what that says to me is that goes back to Proverbs, the 9th chapter, I think is the 10th verse. It says, "The beginning of wisdom is to seek the Lord," or "the fear of the Lord." We have got to pursue God. We've got to pursue him. We have to pursue him so that we can have access to the spirit of wisdom, to all that God has. But we won't get it if we just have a casual relationship with the Father. There are things that are reserved for us when we dig in and we say, "I want all that you have, Father. And I'm willing to spend some time with you." So, saying all that, we're coming back to this here is all about the spirit of wisdom. And today is Mother's Day, 2024. Hallelujah. And so as I was looking at some of these, and I took my note up here, it says the spirit of wisdom teaching. And it's not a preach, but you know, if a preach come up, I'm subject to do it. And I might even dance a little bit if it hit me right, you know. But it says, it's for mothers, but it's for everybody. The spirit of wisdom is for everybody. All of us need the spirit of wisdom. But we're highlighting some women today. Divine wisdom. Divine wisdom. The spirit of wisdom will allow you and me and mothers and men of God to be great decision makers. That's what the spirit of wisdom does. It makes us great decision makers, that we can make wise choices. That's what the spirit of wisdom will do. The spirit of wisdom is so that we can move forward. And so I can even remember, even as a teenager, I wish I'd known some principles about divine wisdom, because in those beginning years, you begin to set seed that will begin to sprout later on. And it's not too heavy. All God wants to know is, Solomon said, "I'm like a child," and God said, "Well, I'll meet you right there, bud." He said, "I'll give you what you need." But again, I say to make wise choices. Sometimes in life's difficult situations, we have to ask for some wise counsel. Decisions that produce favorable consequences. That's what we want in these life situations. Life is more than complicated. I just don't know what other word to use. It's more than complicated. We use the word chaos. It's more than chaotic. It's far-reaching. It has roots. It can go into our lives and to the lives of others. It's complicated. Hallelujah. Decisions that produce favorable consequences in life situations. We need a spirit of wisdom so we can have some favorable consequences. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need some favorable consequences. And so I'm going to go to a passage of scripture. Let me get to this. I was trying to, I can tell you what it is. It says, what I wanted to share is in Exodus, the 2nd chapter. I'm going to show, we'll get there real quickly. I want you to see that Exodus, the 2nd chapter, caused wise decisions. And I'm going to look in chapter 2. I'm just going to scan through chapter 2, and I'm going to scan there. It says right here, chapter 2, Vernella, find it. I'll start with verse 22 in chapter 1 first. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. The devil is a liar. I don't care if he did say it. God has a plan. But that was the law of the land at that time. And it was being executed. But chapter 2 says, but there was a woman of the house of Levi, she conceived and she bore a son. Now remember, he said, what Pharaoh was saying, he says, you can cast the son into the, S-O-N, a baby child, a male child, into the river. But in chapter 2, it says, a woman conceived and she bore a son. And when she saw, in other words, she saw, spiritually speaking, she saw who her baby was. She saw the way he needed to be raised. The scripture says, raise up a child in the way you train him up. But it doesn't mean what we think. We need to ask God so we can see what God sees. Because, see, we be trying to train up kids the way we think we should. We're supposed to ask God so we can see, Lord, show me what's on the inside so I can train them in that vein. Well, the scripture says, so the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, it wasn't because he was so good looking as a baby. Very few babies are beautiful. They get beautiful. Yes, I know. I'm a mother, biological. My son is a handsome fella. But he didn't start out like that. But I loved him anyway. I don't care what y'all say. Every now and then some of them come out. My baby sister was like that. She was beautiful when she, our youngest baby sister. She was the last one. So she had to come out beautiful. We'd made a way for her. 13 of us. So she had to be beautiful. She was so cute. She really wasn't. And I was 18 when she was born. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. This mother had a spirit of wisdom on her. She knew to hide that child because there was something going on the inside of him. She saw it. She knew the Nile had been designated as a death trap for him. Said, cast him in there. But the scripture says, but when she could hide him no longer, she took an ark. She took an ark of bulrush, or whatever that word is, and she made a boat, for lack of a better terminology, and what was supposed to be casting, she set him on and she prepared so he could sail down the river in it. She said the Nile is not going to kill him, but it's going to take him to a place of destiny. She put him in the Nile. What was supposed to have been a death trap for him, it took him to destiny. And changed the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. Says she's got, he's got to be mine. Whew. But she was a mother. She was a woman that moved with a spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. Life situations, tough choices. When she saw that he was beautiful, she saw destiny upon him. Hallelujah. I want to look at another person. Hallelujah. Rapidly right here. Let's go to 1 Samuel, verse chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Here we see, and one thing about parenting and being a parent, you can be biological, you can be a parent that adopt, you can be a spiritual parent, you can be a surrogate, you can be an adoptive. You can come along and be a neighborhood parent. We used to call them a village. Hallelujah. But this particular woman's name was Hannah. And she was barren and she wanted a child. She saw what the joy and she wanted one. And it didn't just happen overnight. But in chapter 1, you find that she was at a... for lack of a better terminology, she was at a place where they went for prayer and etc. And she was praying before the Lord, and she was like, Lord, if you'll just give me a son. I've been waiting for a long time. I want a son. She was very specific. She said, I want a son. If you just give it to him, giving me one. She says, I promise you I'll give him back to you. Wisdom. This mother went before the Lord and she cried out, and she didn't make a deal. She just said, if you give him to me, she said, if you let me hold him in my arms, I'll put him back to you that you can do what you need to with him. A spirit of wisdom. She could not lean to her own understanding, but she knew she couldn't get it any other way. She was married, and her, you know, she wanted one, and her child, a son, and her husband wanted her to have one, but it just hadn't happened. But when things don't happen like we want them to, we can go before the Lord and we can say, God, it's out of my hands. Lord, it's out of my hands. I'm coming to you, Lord. You've got to change this situation. And Lord, if you change this situation, I won't even take ownership. I'll always say it was you. I won't take ownership. So the scripture says, this is the woman that became the mother of Samuel, the prophet. And there's a passage in the scripture that says not one of Samuel's words fell to the ground. He was an awesome prophet. But she bartered, I won't say bargained, she bartered with God. She says, use me and I'll give him back to you. Samuel was used to anoint David, and he even anointed Saul first, and Samuel had the word of the Lord, and he was always there. But this mother, she had a spirit of wisdom, says, if I can't get him just for myself, I'll go into business with you, God. I'll go into business with you. I'll get him here, and then you take him to the next level. She did it. Samuel came on the scene. What would have happened had there not been a Samuel? Had there not been a Hannah that was barren, that was going to pray so to the point that she would get a child that she'd give back to God? Sometimes things come easy for us and we don't realize the cost of the alabaster box. Okay, I'm just going to go with the notes here. I've dealt with Solomon. Oh, this is one I thought was awesome. First King, what chapter is this? I got to see up here. First King chapter 17. And this is where Elijah, with the J, Elijah, there was a famine and there was a drought. And Elijah, the prophet, had the word of the Lord where God had taken care of the man of God. See, he had a spirit of wisdom. He listened to what God said. You got to have a spirit of wisdom to go lay by a brook and wait for a raven to bring you meat and bread until it dries up. And then you get the word of the Lord that says, well, it's gone. And then it's like, well, what am I going to do now? He says, I'm going to send you to a widow. What? He says, I've still got a plan for you. You're just right, and it's just ripe for the widow of Zarephath. And so we pick up this part of the passage of the scripture, and it says in chapter 17, verse 2, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, or whatever that is. And that's where the brooks, the ravens will feed you. And he did all that. And he stayed there by the brook until it flowed. But then it dried up after a while. So now in verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs in Sidon, and dwell there. The Lord says, I have commanded a widow to there to provide for you. Well, naturally, you think she's a rich widow. And she's got a well that other people don't. Naturally, you know, we think she's got it all going on. It's okay if she's a widow, or she's got the goods, because God provides. But it says, see, I have provided a widow there for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, hallelujah. And there, indeed, there was a widow gathering sticks. That's not the picture you want to see when that's the widow. And she's picking up sticks. That blows the former picture out of your mind. Hallelujah. He says, and so she's picking up sticks. But because he's got the word of the Lord, he calls to her. He's not intimidated by looking at her outward appearance. He's not intimidated by looking at how it looks like she's living. He's not intimidated because he's got the word of the Lord. He's got a spirit of wisdom on him. And so here the man of God speaks. The man of God comes with a word. It was all about the widow. he says, he called her and he says, bring me. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate, indeed there a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and he says, ma'am, he says, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to go get it, because, you know, she, well, I won't need it after this anyway, she goes towards her and he says, and by the way, he says, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Well, he got her attention then, and she says, sir, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. She's dealing with the fact. She's just dealing with where she was right then. She says, I do not have bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. But with God, it's just right for the miraculous. All he wants is for us to be willing to hear him and to move out and to do what he's requesting. Here's a mother. Ha. I do not have bread. I only have a handful of flour and a little oil, and I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. God was sending her a rescue. He said, I'm changing your mindset. He said, but you're going to have to do it my way. It's going to take a spirit of wisdom so you don't think you need to feed your son his last meal. It's going to take faith. This is a mother. You got to talk deep to her mama to get her to get to give somebody her baby's food when there's no more coming. You got to have a word of the Lord. He had it, but she had an ear to hear. Well, she said, well, I can't lose on this. One meal or many? What? One meal or many? And Elijah said to her, he says, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. He says, go ahead and make that cake. He says, God wants something to work with. That's why we give. That's why we give of our time and our resources. And that's why we sow. He says, go ahead and do as you said. He says, but make me a cake from it first. You talking about my baby, my son? You got to hear God. But when we hear God, we can move out. Because we know God will do it. Because he won't fail. He won't fail. If we've got the word and if we love him and we're pursuing him. And if we run across somebody who can persuade us so that we can believe what they believe because we're so solid in our belief that we can help somebody else. And so then he goes on and says, for thus the Lord of Israel says, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil will not run dry. He says, until the Lord sends rain on the earth. And so she went and she did according to the word of the Lord. And it was so, just as Elijah had said. I'm just trying to show you a mother that moved out in faith. She moved with wisdom. Hallelujah. We need this today. Men and women of God, we've got to have the spirit of wisdom. We can have wisdom to do things, to be able to do our jobs, because that's just something, you know, you learn how to do, you do because you do, and that's what you do. But then there is a place where we've got to hear what God is saying so that he can cause the tumblers to click, 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 and he opens up heaven.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Babies. Life. Mothers with wisdom. We need wisdom for raising. You young women who are got young children and they're still raising. You need wisdom in this season. You need wisdom in this season. A couple more little pieces and we're going to stop right here. Let me see. Where's I got my notes? Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I'm going to get that one last. Well, maybe that is last. Maybe I'm already there. Thank the Holy Ghost. God is so good. I think I did what I need to do. Now I've got to go back and do this. Hallelujah. I am so excited. Now we're going to go to Ephesians.
Thank you, Lord.
Ephesians, the first chapter. We talked about these mothers. I didn't talk about Mary. What about Deborah? She said, I arose a mother in Israel. Didn't say she had a child. She says, I arose. She said, I arose. I was known as a judge. I was known as a wife. I was known as one that was doing much. She said, but then my authority shifted. She says, and I arose as a mother of Israel. We're going to rise over this nation, people of God. We can rise, but we've got to have the heart of God. We've got to quit repeating what we hear the media say when it does not align up with the God, with God, and quit saying what they say because they don't necessarily believe it. They're just trying to sell time. I'm just telling the truth. All the stations are like that. I'm just glad my son's a meteorologist. Hallelujah. I remember when he started that, I said, you don't know the weather. You better check with God. But he started out as a reporter, but he saw some things with the company that he started out with, and it made him shift from being a reporter to being a weatherman. Then he went on to being a meteorologist. But you know, I'm going to say this, I'm going to get back on my target, but I blame the body of Christ, the church, for not capitalizing upon television when we had an opportunity. And so when we vacated, we didn't occupy, the enemy came and it occupied. So now we want to cry because they don't do it the way we think. Well, you're going to get on your knees and pray. You better get on your knees and pray. If you want things to shift, you better show up for prayer because it's not going to happen just because we don't like it. We've got to pray. We've got to interest. We've got to say, what has God said? What did you say, Lord? You, not just the earth is the Lord and the fullness. But Lord, what did you say? What did you say about that? You knew this thing was coming in the pike in 2024 and the 2000s. You're not caught off guard. We're just caught off guard. And we keep repeating what they say so it gets bigger and stronger. We cast that thing down now in the name of Jesus. We cast it down. We say what God says. We're mothers. We're birthers. We place our children in a place where God can do more with them than we can by ourselves. Amen. We speak life over them. We see potential. And we tell them how much we love them. And then we show them how much God loves them even more. We let them know it's not just about them. We teach them so that they can live at peace. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus did in Luke the 2nd chapter. When the scripture says that he went back and he submitted to Mary and to Joseph. He went back and he submitted. And the scripture says he grew in stature and in wisdom with God and with man. If Jesus had to do it, we need to do it and our kids need to do it. Give the enemy a crack, a corner, and then expect him to stay there in lockdown. You're fooling yourself. If you let him in, he's going to be like that phone they put in walls and things. You put a little bit of, where did that stuff come from? It'd be swelling up. It's like, woo. You don't give no place to the enemy. We should learn by now. We should learn by now. Mm-hmm. Speak what God says. Draw a line in the sand and say, ask for me in my house. And when they get so old, like some of our kids do, you can't drag them in there. But when we have the word of God and we do it in front of them, then they have to know where it's going to cost them. And we have to trust God. Whew. Ephesians, the 1st chapter. I like this passage from Paul. I'm going to start with verse 15. Here Paul is talking to the saints in Ephesus, those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. And first he starts off by saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he talks about spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But then verse 15 he says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, it happens, this process happens after. There's a process here. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul was a praying apostle. He was always greeting in prayers and encouraging. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I've been mentioning you in my prayers that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, say give to me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. I'm just going to stop right there. It's a lot in there. But this is about the spirit of wisdom. Whoa! He says, after I heard and I saw what you're doing, then I asked, you can't get the spirit of wisdom if you come in the back way. Jesus. Father, we thank you on this Mother's Day of 2024. Lord, your word is still a firm foundation. Your word has not changed. Generations have changed, but your word has stood the test of time. Lord, you knew we were called for this generation to be here. And Lord, you're not caught off guard. So, Father, we come to you again and afresh saying, Lord, grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of who you are in every aspect. Just like the mothers did that had to make choices in the scriptures, oh God. Just like King Solomon had to do. Make choices. And then even that mother that was caught in, and I'm just saying this, that mother was caught in that dilemma with King Solomon. She had to make a decision. She had to be wise and say, I tell you what, don't kill my baby. She said, let him live.
Oh, ha, ha. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, Shania. Oh, Kashaniya. So sometimes mothers have to make some tough choices. Oh, Shananariyasa. Sometimes we just have to make some tough choices as family members. Hero Kosaya. We just have to release them to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to see you do what you do with them. I brought them here, but I trust you with the end result. See, wisdom, spiritual wisdom will bring results. Lord, I trust you with them. Lord, I trust you with me. Because sometimes I'm like Psalm, I'm just a child. I don't know how to handle some of these situations. They come so fast. It's like being in space and all of these minerals and things are coming at you. These rockets, when I call them rockets, rocks. They're just coming too fast. Raindrops coming too fast. But Lord, I give it to you. Lord, on this Mother's Day, cause the spirit of wisdom to be on mothers and fathers, families. Cause it to be in the hearts of the young ones and the older ones, oh God. Cause us not to give way to the enemy, that the enemy can take territory. Lord, we decree, Lord, that even as they're studying about warfare, Lord, we're taking back territory. We're not ceding anything to the enemy. We're going back. We're claiming what belongs to us. We're claiming our young ones that are in prisons and addictions and abusive situations in the name of Jesus. And Father, we said we'll hear the sound of the prodigals hitting the streets and coming into the church. Father, we break that spirit of independence that's out there. A lion spirit. We break that thing now in the name of Jesus. Come, hallelujah. There's room at the table. Come, there's room at the table. Father, we thank you right now. Normally I would minister prophetically, but this is Mother's Day. It's a time for you to spend together. Ephesians 1 is yours. And that one that Solomon asked, ask. And then say, what would you ask? Lord, let that be your prophetic word for today. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen, Apostle.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen, amen. We're going to get ready to receive an offering. And so you can make your checks payable to River of Life, or you can give online, whatever you normally do. And we just thank God for the woman of God. And we want to sow into her ministry. And this is our opportunity to sow into good ground. Amen. Yeah, amen, because she's real. Amen. And she loves the Lord. And she's a woman of wisdom. And we so appreciate her coming this weekend and spending the weekend with us. So, Father, we just thank you for the seed that is sown into her life. We thank you, Lord, that you multiply this seed for the kingdom. And, Lord, that it supplies the needs that she has in the natural. And we just thank you, Father, for continuing to strengthen her body. Thank you, Lord, for all that she's poured out. Lord, pour back in a double portion, Lord, into her body, soul, and spirit. And Lord, give her increase on every side. Bless her son and his family, Lord. And we just thank you for the opportunity to spend this weekend with her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.